Well, turn in your Bibles to Genesis 24, if you would. Got some notes here. They're kind of lengthy, so you can look those over later if you want. But we have a beautiful, beautiful chapter here that I know you're familiar with. This is when Abraham was old. He was about 140 years old, and his son Isaac then would have been about 40 years old, and it's time to get Isaac a wife. And so there's this beautiful account, and we can see a number of pictures in this account. And one account I want to look at this morning a little bit is how the Lord uses us and is calling us to call out His bride.
Amen.
This is really a picture of Pentecost here in a sense. We've got the Holy Spirit in the form here of, or the example here of an unnamed servant who we think probably is Eleazar, is the oldest servant in his house, but he's not named. And we see God commanding in the form of Abraham, giving the command to the servant, in this case, I believe it's the Holy Spirit, to call out the bride of Christ. And so we know Paul said to the Corinthians that the Old Testament is given to us for a witness and to give us examples. And so what is the example here? And I believe in every Old Testament example, we can find ourselves in every story. And where are we in this story? And you might say, well, obviously we're the bride. We're the bride that's being called out. And that's true. But I want to go one step further from that. I now want to go to where we are all believers and why are we still here on earth. We're here on earth because the Holy Spirit working through us wants to call others to further complete the bride of Christ, right? So what can we learn from this account that would benefit us in our being called to be a witness and to draw others to the Lord? Well, we see here that prayer is involved, which it always is, and we have a command given here, in a sense, by God the Father in the form of Abraham, giving instruction to the servant to get a bride for my son. And so I think that's what the Holy Spirit is working through each of us, led by the Lord, through us, get a bride for his son, get a wife for his son. An unbeliever, in other words, to come to the Lord. So what do we see here? How hard is that? When we think of approaching somebody about coming to the Lord, it's almost, you know, our lips get a little tight and we get a little tense and, oh, what am I going to say? How am I going to do this? How am I going to approach them? How am I going to tell them about the Lord? And what if they turn it down? Oh, I'll feel so stupid. I'll feel so bad. Well, we have some great lessons here in this account, don't we? First of all, we have the expectation as God the Father in the form of Abraham here gives the instruction to his servant to go, and he says, in a sense, I'm confident that God is preparing the way for you. And when the servant says, well, what if she won't come? And then the next command or the next statement is very interesting, don't take Isaac there. What does that mean? Well, I mean it. I think what it means for you and I, Jesus is not going to suddenly appear to come alongside of you during that witness and take over, really, because that job is up to us, right? So in this case with Abraham, he's not going to take Isaac there to make the decision easier for Rebecca, but through the power of the Spirit, he's going to make Isaac so real and so winsome that when the decision time gets to her, she will say, yes, I will go, I will accept. In other words, I'll come to the altar call in effect and say yes, right? So what this really means is then that the Spirit going before the servant here, Eleazar, takes all the pressure off of him. Mm-hmm. All he has to do is get on the camels and load them up and head out. And then he asks a prayer, so how will I find the right one? And I think this is good for you and for me as well. The prayer says, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day. So it's okay to ask the Lord for success when you're doing his business. If you're not doing his business, I'm not so sure it does much good to ask for success. Lord, I got a lousy plan here, but please bless it. But it says, God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master. Notice that. He's not asking for kindness to himself. He's not saying, Lord, bless my work so I'll look good to my master. He's not saying, you know, bless me so I'm a hero and all of this. But he's saying, bless and show kindness to my master. And then verse 13, behold, here I stand by the well of water, and daughters of the men are coming out of the water to draw water. Verse 14, now let it be that the young man to whom I say, please let your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one. Now, one thing there, it is good to kind of put out some conditions for God, but don't get too carried away with this, because you may be putting out conditions that aren't of the Lord, and they'll never be met, and then you get discouraged by, well, God didn't show me anything. He will show you. For example, let's say you're going to get on an airplane. What are you going to do? Well, you pray, Lord, show me someone that you want me to tell them about you. That, and maybe on that flight, he's not going to give you anybody. He may be just giving you time to be alone, or maybe time to study, or just to worship him or whatever. But he may. And so little things will come up. It may be the person next to you. Maybe. Maybe he'll put somebody in the waiting room for the bathroom or whatever. Or maybe it's a flight attendant or whoever. But as you pray to the Lord, Lord, I'm ready to tell somebody about you on this flight. And would you show me who that is and prepare the way? Because I can't open their hearts. I can't go up to them and, you know, kind of whop them off the side of the face and say, listen up, you're going to hell. That probably is not going to work very well. No. So you want to be available. So here, the servant is making himself available. He goes to the water by the well there. And, of course, you know what happens. It says, before he finished speaking this prayer, here comes Rebecca. Talk about an answer to prayer. And so now we see several stages in this, which would be akin to our telling somebody about the Lord. It's that expectation through prayer. Lord, I believe you're going to open the door for me, and I believe you're going to let me know when that door is open. And then there's going to be a confirmation that comes along. You'll see, hey, yeah, something comes up with that person that you see, it's a confirmation the Lord is in this. And then you have a preparation. It's good to prepare a little bit rather than just jump right in and say, you know, the wages of sin is death, you sinner. That's probably not the best way. What did the servant do here? He starts telling the story about his master, and his master has given his son all of these. The master has been blessed so much by the Lord. And then it says the master has given all these things to his son. Is that similar to our Lord? Is that similar to Jesus Christ? And there's this very attractive picture here being accurately portrayed of the master, in this case Abraham, and this is our story, and of the fact, well, actually the master is Abraham getting the son, getting the bride for his son Isaac. And he's painting this great picture of who Abraham is, and he's given all this stuff to his son. And man, this sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I mean, I wouldn't mind getting a little piece of this action, right? And so he continues. We see then the preparation, and then that's in verses 22 to 27. We won't read those because we don't have time in this short time. And then we see the presentation itself. He goes over all the details once again that I've been set here to get a wife for my son. And even if the wife says, or the wife-to-be says, no, I'll be released from my oath. So that's a great comfort for me, is if we present the gospel, we're doing everything as the Lord is leading us, and the person says no, we shouldn't get too bummed out of that. All that means is we've been released from our oath to spread that word, right? And the seeds are planted no matter whether we see results of it or not. So we see the preparation itself then in verses 28 to 53, and then we see the invitation. So it gets on down, and they say, well, you know, Laban and Nahor said, well, if this is of the Lord, what can we say? And they go on, and then it was, well, let's ask her. Let's make the altar call. Now, are you ready? And again, he has given gifts. I didn't really dwell on that, but it's in here. He gives gifts. He tells a story. he very accurately, it's not pie in the sky, everything he's saying is true. And we see the Holy Spirit now preparing her to make this decision. Otherwise, she would never make this decision. Here she has been sheltered with her parents, and she's about to go 400 miles on a camel to spend the rest of her life with a man she's never met. She'll never see her parents again, probably. And what a difficult decision that is. But isn't that the same decision that we make when we come to Christ? We turn away from the world that we're so familiar with. We turn away from all the things we our flesh likes to do. It's not an easy, trivial decision in that sense. I'm not saying it's a hard decision, but it's a serious decision. So when you're presenting the gospel, don't just think, oh, it's a ho-hum thing. The person's going to say, yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm done with my own life. I mean, and occasionally that'll happen. But usually it takes a little more time, and maybe that decision isn't even made that day. So don't press people to force them into a decision until they're ready to make it, because it won't do any good. I mean, you're not out there to see how many notches you can get on your belt. Well, the last month I've saved 15 people, and man, you're the next, so no matter what, you know. Now I'm going to have 16 after I get done with you. No, just make yourself available and love them. And notice all the time that the servant here, he keeps coming back to the Lord, blessing him and worshiping him for the confirmation that the Lord has been giving him. And he's always asking for love, thanking him for demonstrating the love to my master. It's never about the servant. The servant is not the beneficiary of all of this, but it's for the love of his master. So as you look through these notes, if you are drawn there, and just look at the various steps in here and the various applications in this whole chapter, it's, you know, it's 60 verses or thereabout, 58 verses. But it's a great story, and it's very encouraging to us to see how if we are led by the Spirit, this is not a difficult job. It's not that the God says, well, you've got to do something, it's just so hard, and you know, it's going to be so hard for you. No, it's not. He just wants us to share his love, right? And he will prepare the way. He wants us to walk through the doors that he opens, not go through walls that we would like. Well, I'm going to go through that no matter what. Even if my head is bloody, I'm going to keep on banging away. That's not the Lord's way. The Lord's way is he will open the way. He will prepare the heart. And then we see afterward, we see this great sweet communion where actually after this long camel trip, it's Isaac and Rebecca meet. I was just kind of wondering what they might have said. You know, here he toddles up. You know, he's out meditating, and he sees the camels coming, and of course, and he said, you know, what does he say? I guess he says, hi, I'm Isaac. What's your name? Or whatever. And she goes, puts the veil on, you know, and she says, well, I'm Rebecca, but, you know, maybe she says my friends call me Becky or whatever, I don't know. But they come together, and there's a sweet communion that something has been put together by the Lord, and it's such an amazing thing. And how sweet that communion is. When we see somebody that we have been involved with them coming to the Lord, and we know we'll be together with them forever as well, right, eternally? Well, Father, we thank you for this account here in chapter 24. And, Lord, prayer is a very, very important part of that. And here we are this morning to pray once again, led by your Spirit, Lord. Therefore, we're praying in one accord. So, Lord, put on our hearts what we should pray for, Lord. We know prayer is initiated by you, led by you, and even concluded by you. So, Lord, may our prayers just be what you would put in our hearts to pray for now. Thank you for bringing brothers and sisters here with like-minded hearts to pray. And we know that the prayers from this little room this morning will be powerful and effective, not because of us. Our faith is really weak, but we come in your great faithfulness with the assurance that if we ask anything in your name and in your will, according to your will, you will hear us and you will grant us the petitions that we have asked that are in accordance with your will. So lead us now in this time of prayer in Jesus' mighty name.